You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Listen up!
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
What an enormous spin. Rest in peace, Bob Barker. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The Wheel of Bit today. We need to do more Wheel of Bits. People have been demanding it.
I agree. More bits.
More bits. Junkies want the bits. Twitchers want the bits. All right, so good. What do you got for us, Joe?
I got three things for us to go through today. It was two. I'm gonna throw one in here because we got to hit on this news at some point, so I figured this is a good time to discuss it. Big deal, little deal, no deal. Cal Whittingham steps down as the head coach at Utah, but Stuart Mandel reports he's not retiring and could seek other coaching opportunities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So from a Cougs perspective, it's a big deal, right? This is a good thing because he's a good coach?
Yeah, he's a good coach. I have a lot of respect for him. Congratulations on a great career at Utah. I wonder if he like wants to maybe go coach like a lesser level, you know? Like he still wants ball, but maybe not the pressure and the stress of, you know, top-notch Power 3 football.
So not Michigan.
No. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like an FCS school?
Maybe.
Kind of more like true to like just like recruiting, bringing kids in, developing young men, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, like maybe even high school, you know? Like maybe he loves to live in Salt Lake and he doesn't want to, you know, move and uproot his family and still wants to coach but not the rigors of what it takes now. Like I wonder if that's what it means. That would be my guess because, I mean, he's 66. He's still young enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be the Michigan thing would be fascinating because I think he's a great coach.
Yeah,
I don't think that's likely either. But it would be a big plot twist.
He's also been at Utah since 1994.
I didn't realize that.
Like he has not a head coach, obviously, but he was an assistant from 94 through 2004, and then he took over in 2005 as the head coach. I think he took over whenever was it when Urban left?
Probably. He's been the head coach since when?
2005.
Yeah, that's when Urban left, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean he's had a great career, man. Tip of the cap to Kyle Whittingham.
20 years.
My guess is that he coaches a lower level and doesn't move.
Just something in, if, something
if he
in the
continues
area.
To coach. Yeah, yeah, I don't think somebody's going to move at this stage of their life after they've been there since 1994.
Well, unless he's got at this point grandkids probably, right?
Probably.
So, yeah. You could see him, potentially follow them around or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know where they live. That's a good point.
Yeah. But it's the same
maybe
as
they
your
have
point.
Maybe he's got a high school playing grandson.
Go coach him.
I don't know. So with the big deal, no deal, little deal for Utah or for Houston?
For Utah.
I'm going to go I don't know, man. Like, they're entering this weird era. Like, they went to private equity. Like, they're bringing in a private equity firm to, like, give them money and stuff.
Well, what if that's why he walked away?
I think that it might be. I think that's what I mean by, like, the rigors and, like, the stress and, like, this new brand of college football. So I'm going to go no deal.
Okay.
Not because I think, like, losing him is not bad. I just think that they're ushering in a new era at Utah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still a little confused on what that all means for them.
Yeah, I've been talking to people, like, trying to gauge, like, what this means, period, for people, like, private equity and stuff. And the best that I can gather is you get a lot of money in the short term to be able to compete with the, you know, the guys who are, you know, spending it and throwing it around.
Yeah.
But what you're sacrificing is a potential, like, you know, long-term gains. Like, you're kind of sacrificed, not your entire future, but you're kind of sacrificing and mortgaging your future a bit for the right now to get it all cash in hand.
Yeah. And that's why, like, it doesn't really make sense to me why the Big Ten's been talking about this either.
Well, I guess, I mean, well, we talked about this a little bit the other day. It doesn't make sense for me for, like, the Michigans and Ohio States of the world, but, like, you know, the Northwesterns of the world, Rutgers of the world,
it does.
Like, it levels the financial playing field because you get money in hand.
Mm-hmm.
It also kind of, like, it's kind of cutthroat. So, like, you eliminate a lot of the outside stuff because you're more for profit, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's why, like the Olympic sports are kind of scared of this, because what does it mean for, like, Olympic sports that, you know, all the money's going to football?
Well, I would assume if Utah's taking all this money, it means that they're going to disperse some of that money to help Olympic sports.
Couldn't tell you.
You'd think, but they may not, honestly.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a new age of college football, though. I mean, Big 12 talked about private equity, and then they decided not to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it really, like, I mean, with the Big Ten, it's what, it's Michigan and USC are the two schools who have said no to it.
I'm surprised Ohio State didn't.
That's what me too. But, like, they, because I guess you have the private equity money and then you have your own money on top of it, I guess. So, like, you're just, like, you're going to have even more. You can make a $40 million roster.
But if you have the money already, why would you sacrifice future earnings?
Yeah, like, why would you want to, like, welcome and give money to Northwestern?
Yeah. Virginia, you're selling a piece of your revenues. I think it's more your future revenues, though. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I'm, like, a top 20 university in terms of, like, you know, finances and revenue. I would not be interested in private equity. I think it makes sense if you really want to win and compete with those schools financially to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, what you got next?
Reports coming out from what's his name? Troy, the former wide receiver.
Nope. Smith.
Vincent. Troy Vincent, the former
Troy
corner.
Vincent.
That they are at an impasse, the NFL and the Referees Association. We could be headed towards a lockout again of the referees.
What?
Yeah. That their contract is up, and they're trying to negotiate, but the last report was not very positive.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
You remember the scabs?
Yeah, I don't want
you remember
again.
How bad they were?
Yeah, they were awful.
You know, I kind of want to see it, though, Joe, because all these people that gripe about officiating left and right, like, you're the worst, like these Florios of the world, they're the worst we've ever seen. They got to get better. We don't know how to get better, but they got to get better. I want all those moaners and gripers to have to deal with replacement officials again for 6 weeks,
yeah,
just to see how bad it really is.
And you know, it'll be just like last time where there won't really be progress on a new deal if it happens until a disaster happens, and then the NFL just has to cave again like they did last time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this one, that makes me,
that's a big deal.
That makes me upset to hear that there's even a potential for a referee lockout again. I don't want to see that ever again in my life.
Big deal for you?
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I was reading something where the Big 12 and the NFL have agreed to, like, a partnership where they're working, like, on officiating stuff.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like. I wonder if, like, the Big 12 wants to be, like, the feeder league to the NFL with their officials.
I mean, it'd be a great idea. You have an NFL official who's struggling. You send him back down to college for a season. Relegation system, baby.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see what that is. I think it's a good idea. I'm curious to see the semantics of it all. There's one SEC official who's now a white hat in the NFL. I remember seeing him like 2 years ago in the SEC, and then I remember watching a game last year. I was like, that guy. I remember that guy, and I looked him up, and he used to be an SEC official. Last year, he was like a line judge or a back judge, and then this year he got promoted up to a head referee.
Moving on up.
Yeah, he was in the SEC 2 years ago. Now he's a white hat in the NFL. All right, what's your last one?
Last one I got here for you. Big deal, little deal, no deal. The NFL is changing the amount of time in between picks in the first round.
Oh,
how much
yeah.
do you care?
Big deal. I think this is going to increase the entertainment value of the first round of the NFL draft.
I think they said last year ended at 11:35, so 10:35 our time.
I love the draft.
It's way too long. It's way too long of a draft.
Yeah.
I think this is great.
It doesn't need to be that long.
No,
I mean, reduce a couple minutes. No big deal.
But I got a caveat with this, though, okay?
Okay.
When the pick is in, can we make the damn pick?
Yeah.
Like, can we stop? Can we tell the people on TV to shut up? And, like, the pick is in. So, like, it's a 10-minute clock, but then you're waiting 2 minutes for Mel Kiper to stop screaming about Shador Sanders
make
the pick.
I don't think that. I think that adds a total of 5 minutes, though, at the end of the draft.
I don't know. It feels a lot longer. It feels like it in the moment that the pick is in and they're still talking.
Yeah. No, I think they could do better at that. But I like reducing this by 2 minutes a pick and shortening the first round of the draft. It's a little bit more made for TV. I'm watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it on TV. So I'm good with this.
My favorite thing I saw from this is no one tell the Vikings. So that way they miss their pick again.
So they can. Yeah.
I wish I remember that.
Yeah, I can't believe that actually happened.
I know, it's so absurd.
So your big deal, little deal, no deal for you?
I think it's a big deal, too, because I like watching on TV. Like, if it's too long of a program, the first day of the draft. I don't think they're changing the second and third day, though. What's interesting is the interview with that. It was McAfee, like, complaining to Goodell in a one-on-one interview last year, saying that it was too long.
That's hilarious.
And then all of a sudden they got change. It's like,
it's an influencer.
Well, maybe just like tell Pat all the ideas we want different about the NFL and him and Raj can just like figure it out.
Pat McAfee's the unofficial commissioner of the NFL.
I'd be fine with that.
Junkie says, big deal, little deal, no deal, SFA versus Montana State in the FCS playoff quarterfinal tonight. Axum Jacks.
For some of you, big deal.
Big deal. Good luck, Sam, SFA.
Yeah, for SFA, big deal.
I saw that their coach was complaining about their name on the ESPN score bug.
Okay.
I think ESPN has been putting their name on the bug, SF Austin, and SFA doesn't like that.
Mm.
And the head coach like went off in like his his press conference this week. It's like, get it right, ESPN. We're SFA, we're not SFA Austin.
I found the story immediately. From cron.com. That's,
yeah.
I mean, look, you got to represent the school correctly.
Yeah, I think it's poor job by ESPN.
Yeah, that's a valid complaint.
Like, ESPN should be asking their sports information director, like, hey, what should it look like on your bug? And like, hey, if you screw up the first time, whatever, I get it. Mistakes happen. Like, you made the assumption. You know, assumptions, you know what that means. But hey, you mess up the first time. But if they correct you, fix it.
Yeah.
Fix it.
But good luck this weekend. SFA.
Well, there's some people are telling me it might have been SFA's fault for not relaying that message to ESPN. Someone literally just texted me that.
That
I trust. So maybe it was SFA's fault for not relaying the message. I hope it's fixed tonight. I hope that it's fixed tonight. I hope that whoever's responsible got the message sent, and I hope that it was received. Let's stop calling them SF Austin. It's disrespectful. They want to be SFA. If it was SFA's fault, if it's ESPN's fault, doesn't matter. Let's fix it tonight. Let's get it right tonight.
I'll be pulling for a Junior Broncos squad.
Axum.
Go Junior Bronco, Illinois State.
He's an SFA guy?
He's an Illinois State guy. They play tomorrow.
You know Nacogdoches is the oldest town in Texas, Joe.
I didn't know that.
I like to teach you Texas history because you're not a Texas guy.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Do you know the story of Nacogdoches and Natchitoches?
I don't.
Their dad, I think it was Chief Wahoo. They lived like in the border of Texas and Louisiana, and he told Nacogdoches, who was his son, to walk like 6 days west, and he told Natchitoches, his other son, to walk like 6 days east.
Okay.
And then they settled into their own like tribes and their own camps, and that's the story of Nacogdoches and Natchitoches.
Yeah.
And if you look at it on a map from like where their camp was to where they walked like an identical miles from their original camp.
What's the other one?
Natchitoches.
Yeah, you were out. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and A&M was playing someone from there, I think.
I think it's Northwestern State.
Yeah.
The Demons.
I had never heard of it before.
They were purple.
Yeah, people got mad at me.
You never heard of Natchitoches or Northwestern State?
Natchitoches or Northwestern State.
They filmed a famous movie in Natchitoches. It was like Steel Magnolias, maybe. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Steel Magnolias. Been a long time.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I haven't seen Steel Magnolias.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. Anyways, there's your history lesson on Chief Wahoo. I think it's Chief Wahoo. I'm not actually sure that it's Chief Wahoo. I'm not very confident that it's Chief Wahoo. I am confident that it's Nacogdoches and Natchitoches and they were the sons. I don't really remember the father's name. Yeah, somebody will text that in here a little bit. All right, 713-780-3776. It's starting to annoy me a little bit, Joe, that Joe Espada and Dana Brown are never on the same page. Like, why do they not deliver the same message? It is weird to me. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Somebody says it's Chief Caddo. I don't think it's Chief Caddo, though. I think Caddo was the name of the tribe. I think it was an old Caddo chief, but not Chief Caddo. I think there was a Caddo tribe. But it wasn't Wahoo. Wahoo's the Cleveland Guardians' old mascot. I didn't realize this. I remember the Northwestern State and SFA, they play their rivalry game. Mm-hmm. And they play for the Chief Caddo trophy because it was the name of the tribe, not the name of the chief. But it's the world's largest sports trophy. I didn't realize this. I remember seeing the trophy, but I didn't realize it was the world's largest sports trophy. You want to guess how tall it is?
5 feet?
No, it's more Yao Ming than Muggsy Bogues.
7'2"?
7'6". This trophy is 7'6" inches. Guess how much it weighs?
I mean, at least 1,000 pounds, right?
It's 320 pounds.
Okay.
1,000?
I don't know.
7'6", 300. Their trophy's the size of Yao Ming.
They just, like, roll this thing out there?
Google the Chief Caddo trophy. I don't know if it's on wheels or not. It must be. Maybe they have a dolly.
Yeah, they must have just dolly it out there before the start of the game.
That's crazy.
It's huge. Look at photos. They're carrying it like the Jamaican bobsled team off the field.
Yeah, I'm seeing the one that I'm looking at is, like, I guess it's the year that Northwestern State won it. And, like, they're celebrating around it, and, like, it towers over their entire team. That's awesome, man. I love old college football traditions.
We need more of this.
I know. It's great, man.
Can we get a 7-foot silver boot?
That'd be awesome. We played at Rice this year for the silver boot, maybe the last time in a while, and I was up in the booth, like, hanging out, like, talking to people, and I realized I was stepping on something. And I was like, this is kind of annoying. And I looked down, and it was the bucket. Like, I was stepping on the bucket and didn't even realize it. Like, a crack in it, like it was the Liberty Bell. Yeah, we need a 7-foot boot. That's a great idea.
All about that.
Before we get into the Astros, let's go out to the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Keith wants in. Keith, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Keith?
Hey, quick question about the Texans. You know, Dalton Schultz, 1 year left on his contract, age 29. I think he's owed 10, 11 million next year. He's been decent to good, not great with the Texans. Kyle Pitts last night, you know, younger, bigger, faster, stronger, looked unbelievable. Obviously, that's his best game of his NFL career. If you're the Texans, do you cut ties with Schultz with 1 year left on his deal and throw money at Kyle Pitts?
How much would you pay him, Keith?
Kyle Pitts is only 25. You know, fresh legs. I'd give him like 4 years for 60.
15 a year. Okay. Appreciate the call, Keith. Thank you for listening in. We talked about this earlier. That's okay, Keith. You're probably working, you know, or making some money. You couldn't listen to the entire show. We get it. We don't blame you for it. Thank you for tuning in when you can. The number that we got to was, like, I think the most either one of us would be willing to pay him is around 12, 13 million.
Yeah.
I would have a tough time paying Pitts 15 million. And then the terms, too. 4 years? I would balk at that. That to me is too high for Pitts.
He just hasn't played well enough for, I think, the Texans to take that level of risk.
Yeah. The furthest that I could, like, if they, and, you know, we talked about earlier. But anyways, if we got a news flash in the offseason, Texans signed Kyle Pitts, 3 years, $39 million, I'd be like, okay. All right, a little bit more than I'd want to spend, but still kind of excited they have Kyle Pitts. So my number's more 3 years, 39, Keith. I couldn't go that fourth year, and I don't want to go $15 million a year.
Yeah, it looks like they would save some money, it looks like, if they moved on.
Schultz is making, what, 12?
Yeah.
11 or 12?
His cap number next year, his base salary is 11. His cap number next year is 15.9.
Schultz?
Yeah.
And they can get out of it with zero hit, right? It's all non-guaranteed.
Yeah, it looks like a post-June 1st they can get out of it. Yeah.
I thought he was a three-year deal.
They pushed some money into 27.
They redid his deal?
Yeah. So you can get They have $5 million of dead cap in 2027, no matter what.
I think they keep him then.
I think they do too. Well, I mean,
because his cap number next year is almost 16. Wow. Yeah, you're not gonna cut him. Say and take dead money, of 4.5, and then that'd be if it was post June 1st, and then sign a tight end.
Yeah,
because that's basically saying like that's adding $4 million to whoever you sign. Like, let's say you get Pitts for 12, but if you have to cut Dalton Schultz to do it, and then you sign up for 12, you're paying him 16.
Yeah, and you're basically still going to have dead cap of $5.8 million in 27, so it's like you might as well just keep him for 1 year. But we've seen Nick Cassero do this a lot.
I can't believe they redid his deal.
Yeah, I know.
Schultz is going to be a Texan next year. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't remember when he did it. When he redid it.
I don't either.
So, I mean, yeah, Schultz will be here. It'll be the same room for the most part, probably, right? I mean, they just gave Brevin Jordan a new contract for an extension for a year. Stover's still on his rookie contract, so it'll be those two guys and Schultz. That's your tight end room next year.
Yeah, the void year started in 27. So, yeah, it seems like he's going to be a Texan next year. Wow. Okay. Yeah, so much for that Pitts idea. 713-780-3776. So I'm going to play the two things from Dana and from Joe Espada here. It kind of annoys me because it's a trend between Dana Brown and Joe Espada. We've talked a lot about, like, where is Jose Altuve going to play defensively? And everybody's been like, well, Jose Altuve is going to play second base. Well, why is he going to play second base? Well, Joe Espada told that to MLB Network the other day. If y'all don't remember, here was the winter meetings, Joe Espada talking to MLB Network and talked about the plan for Jose Altuve defensively.
You know what? I like the fact that he is open to helping, to do whatever it takes to help the team. But I think second base is his prime position. I think we're going to see him play there more this season. Giving us some starts in left field, that's something that I will sit down and talk to him about that.
Okay. So he didn't entirely rule out left field, but it's like it needs to be a conversation. And he says primary position, second base. We expect to see him more next year at second. He actually played more second than left field last year. So that gives us the thought, okay, well, they must be playing Jose Altuve at second base like 100 games this year, right? Like, okay, that's what we think when Espada says that. Well, here was Dana Brown on MLB Network the next day, and Dana's plan seems to contradict Espada's plan.
I need to ask you about Jose Altuve. We know he's such a gamer, one of the best of the game. But where do you see his playing time shaking out in 26? I know it's early, but he can go a couple of different places. How would you like to use him?
You know what? I like the fact that he is open to help.
That's a spot. Let's get to Dana's plan. Do you have Dana's plan, Age? All right, we're going to work on that. We'll get the Dana on the other side. We'll get Dana Brown's reaction to it on the other side. Also, like, why this annoys me, that they're not on the same page. Freddie Peralta is an interest for the Houston Astros, and then also a lot of mid-pitchers on the 40-man. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
It's Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. AJ filling in. I love this song. Big fan of this song. Brian always plays this song. Kind of threw me for a loop, AJ. Brian always plays it. Anyways, 713-780-3776. So Espada, Dana Brown, never seem to be on the same page. Here's Espada again, his plan for Jose Altuve defensively.
You know what? I like the fact that he is open to helping, to do whatever it takes to help the team. But I think second base is his prime position. I think we're going to see him play there more this season. Giving us some starts in left field, that's something that I will sit down and talk to him about that.
Okay, so they're going to play him more at second base. That's what Espada said. That's what the manager said. Left field, that's going to require a conversation. Well, here was Dana Brown, general manager of the Astros, the very next day.
Who do you think is your left fielder?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a combination of we got to get a lot of guys at bats, right? So sometimes it's going to be Jordan, sometimes Jordan's going to DH. Sometimes it's going to be Altuve, maybe Paredes could play second.
Who do you think is your
what?
Okay.
Why can't they be on the same page?
Especially because Joe Espada also said that Jordan was primarily going to be a DH.
Yeah.
They
delivered different messages within 24 hours of each other.
Okay, so I think the most logical thing here is that even though they talk all the time and want to retire in Houston together, according to Dana Brown, they don't talk to each other. That's the only explanation I can have. Is that, or they just philosophically disagree on what to do with Jose Altuve?
I don't get that sense, though. Like, I don't think that they butt heads, and I don't think they have conflict. I really don't.
Is it a troll?
No. What I think it is, Joe, is like, I think they're unorganized. Like, I think that they're unorganized. They don't have, like, you know, one message from the organization. Like, maybe they haven't really even talked about this going into next year, which seems like a problem. Like, I would hope they would have had this conversation because it's pretty important based on how you want to build your roster, right?
Yes.
Like, if Jose Altuve plays more games in left field, you're going to construct your roster differently than if Jose Altuve is playing most of his games at second base. So, like, it seems like a conversation general manager and manager should have. So, I give them the benefit of the doubt that they are having it. But at the same time, why are they having different messages within 24 hours of each other?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
they're sloppy. I think it's sloppy. I think it's unorganized. Like, go find me a good organization, Joe, where the manager and the general manager are giving very different messages within 24 hours of one another. Now, a lot of organizations just won't tell you. Like, we'll see where we go. Okay. I'd rather hear that than to have a general manager and a manager give me two totally different responses.
Yeah, we see managers and GMs lie, and then like actual reporting comes out, and they dispute those things that are being said, and like that's normal. This is not normal. Like this is very strange. Like this would be the equivalent of D'Amico saying like Titus Howard is our right tackle. He's only going to play right tackle, and then Nick Caserio goes, well, he might play left guard.
Yeah,
it's just like it doesn't. I don't know if it's like an indictment. Like I don't know if it really. It feels like it should matter.
I think it's sloppy. I think it's unorganized. I don't want my organization, my front office, my manager to be unorganized and sloppy. They should not be delivering different messages. Oh, you're reaching. You're overreacting. Why does this consistently happen? This isn't the first time they haven't been on the same page with the message out of the organization.
It happens all the time.
The message out of the organization should be the same between general manager and manager.
We go through this all year with injuries. Dana Brown gives some, you know, big timeline, and then Joe Espada never gives the same timeline. And usually he's just, you know, tighter-lipped, I would say. And that's maybe that's what that is here. Like, what if Joe Espada knows that Isak Paredes is being traded, so he's playing Jose Altuve at second base, but Dana Brown feels the need to still bring up Isak Paredes because he hasn't been traded yet?
That's sloppy.
Like, no, 100%. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's not the end of the world, but it doesn't make sense of why you're hearing one thing from one person and one thing from the other.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, but it to me, it almost feels unserious.
I agree.
Like, it doesn't feel like a serious organization.
No,
this
doesn't
happen. Are they a serious front office? Is that a serious managerial room? And, like, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I think they do, like I haven't been blown away with either guy. I'm not going to lie to you. Neither guy has blown me away. But, like, you know, like, Joe Espada bringing the mother of Cam Smith into the clubhouse to announce that he's making the team when he maybe shouldn't have been on the team because it's super early to have, like, this unprecedented track to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. It just feels sloppy to me, Joe.
And that's
like,
why
this doesn't happen with Luno. This doesn't happen with Luno and Hinch. This didn't even happen with Click and Dusty. Like, and they hated each other.
Nope.
Like, they were butting heads, and they might have delivered different messages because they actually like didn't like each other and wanted to do different things. But you never got the idea that they were sloppy.
No, the
it
only
was more that they just disagreed.
Yeah, the only time they ever got sloppy is when Dusty Baker, like in his first interviews, was way too upfront with injuries, and then got told not to talk again.
Yes.
Like, that's the only time like that's ever happened. And then after that point, it was basically they were on the same page.
And it's Dusty with a Hall of Fame managerial resume.
Yes.
You know? Like, this is Espada as a first-year manager. This is Dana as a first-time general manager. And they can't even get on the same page on what they're going to say publicly.
And that's why part of me, I don't think we can rule out that they just don't talk to each other about this stuff.
Well, see, I disagree because, like, I get the impression that, well, I mean, certainly they've had the talk about what's happening, right? Like, this is what we want to do. This is, like, what we're hearing. You don't think that they've had those chats?
I mean, it feels like they should, but then how is something like this happening?
See, I feel like they have the chats, but they don't talk about, like, what does our message need to be? I feel like that's the hang-up.
So they
like,
just,
that's
they just,
where the
They just
the
talk the talk.
Is. Yeah, they talk because like they're actually talking about what they want the team to look like, or talking because a manager and a GM should have a relationship. And like, I don't think that they have a bad relationship. Like, I think they get along great. Like, Dana talks very good about Espada. Espada talks good about Dana. Whenever they're together, they talk very, you know, like they seem like they have a good, friendly relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get any sort of strife between the two.
No, not at all.
I'm not sure Espada's ever had strife with anybody in his life. I'm not sure Dana Brown has had a strife with anybody in his life. They're both very pleasant people. Doesn't mean they're great at their job, but it means they're both pleasant people. So I think it's more kind of sloppy and like, okay, well, they don't have the conversation about what does our public message need to be.
Which is something that you should be having.
Yeah, serious organizations do that.
Yeah.
It's just, I
don't know. Like, it doesn't make sense. And that's why it's hard to take anything they say and take it seriously. Like, and it's not just the promising guys are going to be here forever and then none of them are here forever that Dana Brown had. It's that they can't be upfront and honest about who's playing second base next year or be on the same page.
It kind of frustrates me because I don't think it's a great leadership.
I agree. What else would it be?
It's not great leadership.
It's either not.
It worries me about the organization.
It's either bad leadership or bad communication. And frankly, those are probably tied together.
Yeah, I think they're tied together. Now, what would you do if you're the decision maker for the Astros? How would you handle their surplus of infielders that can't play second base?
Hope that Bob Nightingale's right and the Mets are going to trade for Christian Walker.
Yeah, that would be the fix. So they trade for Walker, you play Isak at first.
Yep, and then Altuve's your second baseman.
And then
unless you make a trade. Jesus Sanchez?
Okay. Yeah, I don't really disagree.
I mean, what are your other options?
The options is if you can trade Walker. Let's say you can't make a trade.
Then Altuve's in left.
Who's at second?
Paredes.
Yeah, I don't think he can handle second base every day.
Okay, then you have a rotation.
Yeah, that's probably the play.
Paredes, Yordan, and Altuve rotate in some combination of DH, left field, and second base.
Yeah, and then you give like Walker an off day a week, Correa an off day a week, Isak plays first at third, their off day of the week.
Yeah.
Who's your second baseman?
Altuve on the days that Paredes isn't there.
So Altuve and Isak are splitting second base entirely?
I got. And then who's the new guy?
Nick, the Stick Allen?
Yeah.
Him. No, he's not playing. He's not going to get many starts.
He can play one game every 3 weeks?
No, you don't want him to play second. He might be a late inning defensive replacement.
Bryce Matthews could be the option if he makes the roster.
They have a lot of questions, man. A lot of questions. Meanwhile, general manager and manager can't even figure out where Jose Altuve is going to play.
Has Zach DiCenzo ever played second base?
He might have in the minors. I mean, he played shortstop in college, but he's not a second baseman.
Yeah.
The guy's a corner infielder, outfielder.
Yeah.
He might not even be a third baseman. He just might be a first baseman, corner, outfielder.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Altuve and Paredes. Those are your guys. Those are your two second basemen.
That's not a great defensive solution.
No, but I don't think you have it. You're stuck. You're stuck. It's the reality of Jose Altuve. You're kind of stuck.
I feel like there's a bet I want to make here.
You have two guys that, frankly, should be DHs full-time.
Three?
Yeah, if you want to say Paredes.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Well, I mean, Paredes, I mean, I say that because of his injury. Paredes is good enough to handle third base and first base defensively.
And who knows? He might have to be your primary DH at the start of the season if he's not fully ready to go.
Dana Brown said he's fully ready to go a month after he said he's not going to be fully ready to go.
Yeah,
Dana Brown doesn't even contradict Joe Espada all the time. He contradicts himself a lot of the time.
Like, how much has he seen Isak Paredes in that last month?
I mean, how much is he traveling to Mexico?
Exactly. Like, unless Paredes is here and we don't know it.
Paredes is from Mexico. Well, I mean, Dana would make Dana a liar. Dana said that he's in Mexico rehabbing.
He could have stopped by for a...
Yeah.
It's not a far flight.
Yeah, that's true. I don't love what's going on with the Astros.
They got some roster spots to figure out. I thought we were going to see a move this week.
I did too.
But, I mean, it's been largely quiet.
I don't care that they didn't, though. Like, I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, they didn't make a move, poor Astros. Like, who cares? Like, I don't need them to make a move quickly and with, like, you know, urgency. I just want them to get it right.
Like, 70% of Major League Baseball didn't make a move this week.
Yeah,
so it's okay.
I'm not mad at them for not making a move. I thought we would also see a move, but I'm not mad at them for not making a move.
I agree.
They'll make their moves.
Eventually.
They'll make their moves eventually. There are some reports that the Astros are in on Freddie Peralta. He's a really good pitcher. He's not making much money next year, but it's the final year of his contract. Do you want Freddie Peralta? And I think the Astros have another roster crunch, too. We talk about the surplus of infielders. I think there's another surplus of back end of the rotation starting pitchers that they're going to have to cross that bridge probably before opening day. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. If you're in a crunch, you know what you should do? You're feeling pressure. You're feeling, hey, what am I going to do with my bosses and my general manager who keeps contradicting me? Well, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort, and you don't have to worry about that. You can get away from that GM contradiction. Escape the rat race. Escape the hustle and bustle of the job. Escape the boss, traffic, whatever's causing you stress, and get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. They got their Winter Wonderland going on right now for the next few weeks, actually. So get on out there quickly. But it's just an example of how much Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors. Winter Wonderland all throughout December. They got bonfire and s'mores because that's always fun to do when the weather gets a little chilly. They take care of the kiddos with kids' craft, kids' activity on Saturday. They got bingo for you, singo. I don't even know what singo is, but it sounds like a blast. It is great out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's the best weekend idea. Get on out there, escape the city, enjoy the relaxing great outdoors from the open green spaces. You got the wildlife out there, the beautiful majestic trees, peace and quiet. Just peace and quiet. Get away from the noise and the loud of the city. Enjoy some peace and quiet. Some of the best fishing in Texas, too. Two Creeks alongside their property, the catch and release pond in the middle of the property. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You don't have to waste your time sitting in traffic going through different states and six-hour hauls or TSA and airport. You put us on, you can catch half our show, too, as you're on your way out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to be hiking their 92-acre property in no time, kayaking. They got some pickleball courts, if that's your thing. They have glamping for you. The cabins right on the creeks are awesome. We stayed in the treehouse when we went. We loved it. Branham family loved it. Or if you have an RV, just pull up that sucker. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And from now through February, you can get 40% off all cabin rentals, 20% off nightly RV stays with their 40-20 discount. So take advantage of that. Book your stay now. TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com. That's TwoCreeksCrossingResort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm the Huntington Bank bad boy. 713-780-3776. Junkie says makes you kind of wish we did not lose Mauricio Dubon, doesn't it? No, I have no problem trading Mauricio Dubon. I don't need his 78 OPS plus getting 400 plate appearances a season. No, it doesn't make me miss that at all.
I mean, if you trade Paredes, then Altuve is your everyday second baseman, right?
Might be your everyday left fielder.
Yeah, I mean, you could acquire a second baseman, right?
Or it's Bryce Matthews, because he's a young kid that you want to give a runway to.
He's shown some pop. He just strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
So does a lot of the Astros.
That's true.
Dana Brown doesn't care about strikeouts.
Not
like, go look at the players that Dana Brown has acquired, especially, like, drafted. Like, like what is their weakness? They have swing and miss. He does not really care that players strike out.
Yeah. Yeah, so Bryce Matthews, he struck out 20 times in 47 plate appearances last year. And it's 47 plate appearances. Like, it's not a lot. It's 13
small
games.
Small sample.
But the minor league numbers show the exact same thing. But he could be your everyday second baseman next year. That's a fine solution, at least to start the season. You know, you always pivot at the deadline.
It's also weird because, like, they were, like, interested in Brendan Donovan. So it's like, okay, what do you – what?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, he hasn't been moved yet, right?
No, he hadn't been moved. But, like, if you acquire Donovan without trading Paredes or Walker, it's like, well, what's the solution now? So, like, it's weird. Like, just, like, everything's just been weird with this Astros offseason. Maybe at the end of the day they're going to make, like, all the right moves and solve this puzzle perfectly. And I do think we should not grade an offseason until the offseason's done. That's my thoughts on it. But yeah. I have no problem. I don't think Mauricio Dubon is worth the money he's getting paid. I'm tired of seeing him get 400 plate appearances a year. I think Dana Brown might be getting rid of Dubon, so Espada can't play him every day. They needed to clear some money. They do have a surplus of infielders. No, I have no issue that they traded Mauricio Dubon for Nick the Stick Allen.
No, and there's plenty of good options out there. I mean, Jeff Passan, his last article, these are the players that he said will get traded or trying to get traded right now. Brendan Donovan is at the top of the list. Bryce Eldridge from the Giants. Cronenworth and Nick Pivetta. And then he's got the Astros saying they're trying to trade both Christian Walker and Jake Myers.
Okay.
Now, yeah. The move I'm interested in, honestly, is because he says also the Red Sox will trade Duran? I can't remember. If they get the right corner infielder. Paredes.
Yeah, Duran, though, he calls, like, fans how you called that Texans corner the other day.
Oh, that did happen. I forgot about that.
He's kind of like, I don't know, man. He's kind of like mentally unstable. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Would I trade Isak for Duran straight up? Where are you playing Duran? He's your left fielder?
Yeah, left field.
Yeah.
Or right field and Cam Smith and center. I don't
know. He still has two more years. So similar contract situation as Isak.
It solves some of your problems.
Pretty, it's kind of even. Red Sox fans wouldn't want it. Red Sox fans would not trade Duran for Isak, but they aren't the ones making the trade.
Yeah, well, that's because they think they're getting Bregman back still.
No, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't. Duran's a good player. I wouldn't hate it. I think it's pretty fair, too. Junkie asking us, would you have given the Cease contract 7 years, $210 million?
I think it's a little rich. It also doesn't really matter because he wanted to go to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I would not have. I think that's I don't like paying 30-year-old pitchers that amount of money, especially the term. I have no problem paying the $30 million AAV, but seven years?
Yeah.
I have hesitation paying him 7 years, so no, I wouldn't have done that. Astros are reportedly interested in Freddy Peralta, which, again, they should be interested in any pitcher that's average at minimum. But what is your level of desire for one Freddy Peralta?
A 10? He's nasty.
Like, okay, I love the pitcher. Like, I see what you're seeing. I love the pitcher. I think he's very, very good. I mean, you get a 270 ERA guy that eats innings, and his baseball savant lights up red. Like, love the idea of Freddy Peralta. Love the pitcher. But he's in the final year of a contract, and you're going to have to trade for him.
Yeah, so it's – but if it includes some of these guys you're trying to move – and like if Jake Myers is part of this deal and that's a guy you're already going to trade anyways.
Something yeah. like a stud center fielder, though? Like a stud?
I know.
Phenom, young
yeah, so
fielder.
It probably doesn't make sense for Jake Myers there. But, like, maybe they're a Paredes team. You know, like, you don't know. But, like, it's – if you could get Freddy Peralta, and I don't think they can, frankly.
Yeah, I don't either.
They don't have the prospect capital to do it. But, I mean, the idea of it is incredible. He's a dominant pitcher.
Yeah, I just have to – I mean, I'm with you. Like, I don't believe that they have the pieces to trade for Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, this one feels more like, hey, Ken, Dana Brown here, when these rumors come out, can you please just make sure that you include that we were interested?
Yeah, it's to me, if these reporters going to Milwaukee, like, hey, who's called on Peralta? Well, the Astros called on Peralta. Do you have a firm offer? Nope. Yeah. Or if we did, we hated it. Yeah, I don't think Freddy Peralta is realistic. Did you see the rumors on Shane Boz? Like Boz and Pepitote for Ketel Marte?
Yeah.
The Astros aren't getting Boz then.
No. If that's what Boz is going for, then Ketel Marte. If Ketel Marte, like, I'm surprised he's being moved, I guess. I mean, we talked about him once for it as an Astros idea, right? I think even.
The Astros have never been in on Marte, at least based on reports.
Yeah, it's just we
I
were
brought
interested.
Him up as like the dream bat because he's left-handed. He plays second base. I love him as the player, but I've never seen a report that they're interested on him. Plus, he's kind of expensive. Not so much AAV, but like terms.
Mm-hmm. So
expensive terms.
It'd be. I mean, all these options, they sound great, but when you start talking prospects, like that's where it feels like everyone's. The Astros are just going to fall short.
Yep. Yeah, they're going to get Justin Verlander and be happy with it.
When's that deal getting done?
Duran could be the Yuli Gurriel of this title chase. They're a little different insults. They both insulted people, but they were a little different.
They were.
I thought Verlander was coming back. We need him ASAP. I don't think we need him, and I don't think it's ASAP. Now, I don't think it's, you know, unrealistic. I think there's a chance that it could happen. So I think that here's a crunch that I see with the roster here, Joe. Because the Astros have already made some moves. Rule 5 guy, Rowdy Rotary. They signed Weiss from the KBO. They brought in that reliever, Pearson, who they're going to try to make a starter.
Yeah.
They signed him to a big league contract. So I'll just look into the 40-man roster. Like, is Brian Abreu, they're just going through it, A through Z. Brian Abreu, he was on your opening day roster, right, assuming health.
Yep.
Jason Alexander.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a fringe guy. I think Alexander still has options, which is good. Like, you can just send him down and, like, wait for an injury. So, like, okay, let's just, because he has options, we'll say no to Alexander, right? Because he gives you some roster flexibility.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think he has options. Fangraphs says he has options, but maybe it's just not updated. But I'm going to go based on what it says, that he has an option left. Spencer Arrighetti?
Yeah, he's on your roster.
Okay, Blanco's going to start the year on the IL, so you don't have to worry about him. AJ Blueball?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to be on the roster. Now, he does have options, so he gives you some flexibility, but I think it's safe to say he's going to be on the roster. Hunter Brown?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Aniel De Los Santos?
I think so.
See, they, I mean, they offered him, they signed him to a one-year contract.
Yeah.
If you weren't planning on him being on the roster, you would have gotten out of the Aniel De Los Santos business already.
I forgot they did that. So, yeah, he's on the roster.
So that gives us up to three, four. That's five guys. JP France?
No.
Yeah, I don't think he's a lock to make the roster. I think he might even have options, too. Colton Gordon?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, not a lock. He has options. Like, he's a guy you have in AAA that you have organizational depth. Josh Hader?
Yep.
Six. Christian Javier?
Yep.
Seven. Brian King?
Yes.
Eight. Lance McCullers?
Yes.
And that's one that I'm a little uncertain about. We can have that conversation in a minute. But let's count them for now. So that gives us up to nine. Rowdy Rodery Munoz.
Maybe.
I mean, they have to keep him or they have to offer him back to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. So then, yes, yes.
So that's 10. Jaden Murray.
I like Jaden, so yes.
11. He does have options, so he gives you some flexibility. Okert?
Yes.
That's 12. Caleb Ort?
Yes.
13. Nate Pearson? Gave him a big league contract.
I'll call my shot and say no.
Okay, so you think he's just cut, gets cut.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that you have to carry
you
or
have
he's
to,
gone.
Yeah.
Bennett Sousa?
Yeah.
15. Miguel Yolola?
No.
I think he's going to start off in AAA. Yeah. Now, he has minor league options, obviously, so you have, you know, leeway there. Brandon Walter? Brandon Walter's hurt.
Yeah.
He'll be on the IL.
That's right,
Ryan Weiss, you just signed from the KBO, 16. Hayden Wisneski, he'll start on the IL. That's 16 pitchers that you have to have on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You can only carry 13.
Yeah.
So the Astros are in a – some of the pitchers right now on their 40-man are going to have to be out of the organization by opening day.
And we all think they're bringing in Justin Verlander.
Well, at least a starter.
Yeah.
That makes it 17.
If not two starters.
18. So there's five pitchers currently on their 40. And we're not even counting the injuries here.
Yeah.
We're not even counting the injuries. We're not even counting a couple of the prospects who will start off in AAA. We're not even counting Jason Alexander, who we gave a minor league option to.
Yeah, so like, that makes me feel like Blueball turns into a no, unfortunately.
I don't know. I think a few of these fringe guys are just going to get cut.
Yeah, which is fine. That's the way it should be.
And this isn't a negative. This is an observation. This is not a critique.
There's so many guys. That's the observation.
There's a lot of those fringe player. And look, that's fine, man. Like, whatever. Bring in guys, fight for a job, make them earn a job. Cool. That's fine. Again, this is an observation. This is not a criticism. But a few of these guys on the 40-man, a couple of them are going to start the year on the IL. A couple of them are going to start the year on the in the farm in Sugarland. And a few of them, more than two, are going to have to be released, DFA'd out of the organization.
Can I give some criticism then?
Sure.
I feel uninspired as you went through the 18 players that need to make the roster, basically.
I mean, a lot of them are back of the rotation, low-leverage relievers.
Yeah. Like, it's not a – they have 18 studs, you know, 16 studs. So they have one or two in the rotation, two
really,
in the bullpen.
I mean, they have one – yeah, that's it.
And that's it.
You're putting a lot of strain on this Astros pitching machine. A lot of strain on the Astros pitching machine to develop a lot of these, fringe pitchers. Dana Brown had a quote on Lance McCullers, by the way. This was from Chandler Rome's article in The Athletic today, quote from Dana Brown. Lance McCullers, he's got something to prove to the baseball world that he's still Lance McCullers and he can get after it. I'm kind of excited about seeing him in spring training, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a decent chance Lance McCullers does not make the opening day roster and they DFA him.
I mean, it's probably what's best.
I mean, it depends on his spring, obviously. He has a chance. I mean, he comes to spring and he shows, like, here's my 95. Here's my movement. I'm throwing strikes.
Cool.
I mean, he has a chance to make the team. They're going to give him every opportunity to make the team.
They are, and then he's going to be hurt in 3 weeks. And I love Lance McCullers, and I hope he stays healthy, and I hope he's nasty. And I hope Michael Schwab was just 1 year too early with his Cy Young votes take for Lance McCullers. But I'll believe it when I see it.
IL might be best-case scenario. Like, it keeps him in the organization. He's getting paid anyways.
Yeah.
Whether he's on the team, whether he's off the team, whether he's on the injured list. Yeah, I mean, if you get anything of quality from Lance McCullers, that's just gravy. And I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, no gravy for me.
I think I just tore my MCL. All right, 713-780. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 713-780-3776. Have we crossed the threshold where C.J. Stroud is now underrated? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.